You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I now want to bring in Kim Alexander, the president of the California Voter Foundation, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization which seeks to improve the voting process to better serve the needs and interests of voters. Hey, Kim.
Hi, Vicki. Great to see you.
It is a tradition. The time is here, although it's 2025. I mean, so you refounded the California Voter Foundation more than 30 years ago. What stands out to you about this special election?
It is certainly special. I'll tell you that. We've had other special elections that gained a lot of attention. The most recent one was the 2021 recall election. We also had a very strong turnout in that election, a lot of national attention. So some similarities there. The stakes are really high. As you heard from your reporters who went into the field talking to voters about what this election means to them. I mean, it's more than just a yes or no vote on a measure. They're thinking about the future of Congress and the future of power and the division of power in Washington, D.C. And it's not typically what California voters are doing when we go and vote. So I do think it is a unique and extraordinary election.
So roughly 2 months and change is a pretty tight turnaround for an election. Has this happened before in recent years or recent election cycles?
Yeah, I mean, the recall election similarly happened on a very short time frame. You might remember that. And the counties also had a very limited schedule where they could put their plans together. Also, like that election, the counties are receiving funding from the state to pay for the cost of the election, which they normally don't. I mean, normally elections are this huge unfunded state and federal mandate on local government. And this time around, they are being reimbursed. So that certainly makes it a little less challenging, a little less painful to put this election on when they know that their costs are going to be reimbursed by the state.
Do you have a gauge of engagement and voter turnout? I mean, obviously, we're getting anecdotes when our reporters are out in the field talking to voters. But do you have a more statewide look or sense of what engagement looks like?
I have been tracking Paul Mitchell's daily trackers, and also the Secretary of State has been posting, and we have a link to it on our site at calvoter.org, a daily status report on ballots that have been returned and are ready to be counted. And those will be counted, first thing tonight and released once the polls close. And I just looked at it before our interview, and we're up to almost 7.2 million ballots already cast in this election, and primarily as vote-by-mail ballots, but also in-person ballots. That's really extraordinary. I mean, it's 31% of all registered voters. We have 23 million registered voters, so that's a big percentage. And, I'm not going to project what the turnout level is going to be, but traditionally people think a special election is not going to have a strong turnout. Mm-hmm. And it looks like this one will, similar to the recall election. I went back and looked at turnout in that election. We were at 58% of registered voters in 2021 for that special. And in 2022, for the general election, regularly scheduled election, we were only at 51% registered voters. So I think that this election turnout will probably fall somewhere between the turnout we had in the presidential election in 2024 and the midterm election in 2022. But either way, there's really a high level of interest and healthy participation, which is always good to see.
Voting on a recall of a governor is different than voting on a proposition. A proposition can be a little more complicated. It can involve potentially some misinformation or even disinformation. If there's someone who's a last minute voter today, they haven't voted yet, they plan on doing it, they haven't really read up on it too much, what would you like them to know to be as prepared as possible when making a decision, a yes or no vote?
Yeah, this is kind of a tricky measure because it's a little counterintuitive. If you're voting yes on Proposition 50, you're basically saying no to Donald Trump and to what he has attempted to do and has succeeded in doing in Texas, which is convince their lawmakers to gerrymander their districts to favor Republicans. And so you would be voting to oppose that. If you're voting, so it's weird. If you vote yes on Prop 50, you're voting no on what's happening in other states. And if you vote no on Prop 50, you're voting in favor of the existing Independent Redistricting Commission's districts lines. And so you know, there's compelling arguments on both sides. I can see why people might be confused. And I always urge voters, when they're not sure, to remember, you don't need encyclopedic knowledge about a measure to make an informed choice. You can use shortcuts like look at your voter information guide and look at who signed the ballot arguments and see, you know, who you align with. And that can also help you make an informed choice, or ask people that you know and trust, whose opinions you respect. Even if you don't agree with them, it can be a helpful way to make your own informed decision.
You know, our local government reporter Riley walked us through, you know, the election results, how the process works in Sacramento County. How does California's voting system compare to other states? Is it more complicated, or is it kind of in line with how it's done elsewhere?
Well, we are similar to a lot of other states in that we mail everybody a vote by mail ballot. That's something that happens in a lot of particularly Western states, but not all those states also stand up in-person voting sites. So we have election officials doing, you know, double duty, providing both a vote by mail process for all voters and also an in-person voting option for all voters. And so it makes for a lot of additional work to make sure, you know, we have all these protections for voters to make sure nobody's left out. But that means that our election officials have to do extra work on the back end of the process to make sure nobody's voting more than once, right? We have to make sure everybody's voting their own ballot, only voting once, and hopefully everybody who's eligible and wants to vote is able to vote. So that's what we're doing in California. Not all other states are doing that. We have protections to make sure if there's a signature issue, which your reporter was talking about, that we contact voters and give them a chance to correct a signature if they forgot to sign or if it's missing. Not all states do that. We have a 7-day grace period. Not all states do that. And some people want to take that away from us. So, you know, there are a lot of elements in our election process that are very voter friendly and access focused. And because of that, it does take us longer to figure out our election results. And especially when a lot of voters, as I'm sure many will today, take their ballot to a voting site and drop it off in an envelope. And then that's got to be, the signature's got to be verified and the envelope opened, scanned, and counted. That's really labor intensive. And Sacramento County actually is offering this new sign and go option where you can go to a vote center today, bring in your vote by mail ballot, sign the roster at the vote center. You sign a sticker that has your name on it, attesting that, you know, it's your ballot and that this is your signature. And then you can put your ballot right in the ballot box without the envelope, and there's no signature verification required. So CVF is looking at how we can innovate those kinds of reforms to help voters have a more satisfying voting experience and also to speed up the vote count, because we know it's not satisfying for anybody when we have to wait a long time to get election results.
Finally, in the last few seconds that we have, I mean, the first ballot drop is tonight after 8 p.m., of course, but it's just the first, and election results can look very different from election night to the days and the weeks that follow. What would you like people to know about the timeline of how election results come in?
That's a great question. And they do come in waves. And the first results we're going to see shortly after the polls close are the counts from those 7 million people who have already voted, and many of those ballots, hopefully the counties have been able to pre-process ahead of election day. And then there will be the results that are coming in from voting sites, people who vote in person on election day. And then there's the what I call the pig in the python ballots, the giant wad of ballots that have to move through the machinery of the election process in order to be counted. And that's often what takes the longest, as well as those ballots that are eligible to cure. And voters can do their part by getting their ballots in early, voting in person, taking advantage of those options. We also are tracking on our website at calvoter.org the vote count throughout this whole process. So people who want to see how it changes day to day can come to calvoter.org starting tonight all the way through the certification process, and we will help you keep track and see how the vote count's going.
Kim, as always, thanks for stopping by.
Thank you.
Kim Alexander is the president of the California Voter Foundation. Up next, we'll head to Washington, D.C. and get a sense of how California's special election is landing on the national stage. You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.